is the Tom Likas Show.
I love chocolate ice cream.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
It's delicious. Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where you find us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning into this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And as you know, every Tuesday, you get a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show live, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And we are joined in this segment by our friend, criminal defense attorney, Adam Sachs. Adam?
Hey, Tom, what's up?
Not much. What's going on?
You know, Tom, I was in court today. Today was really an intense day for me. And I'm more convinced about not getting married than ever before. But I started telling Gary, but he just made a face. But, you know, there was a case today, Tom, and the wife actually mentioned you by name.
No!
Yeah.
Really? How did that happen? What was the context?
Well, this is criminal law, so I don't want to go too far into family law today.
I have to know.
Yes, of course, I wouldn't tease you like that, Tom. But no, it wasn't my case. I was waiting for my case to be called. And this kind of nasty-looking woman with the bitter face, you know who that is, right? And we've all seen her. And she said that he was abusive and a misogynist, and he was a very retrograde, and listening to that horrible Tom Likas on the radio all the time. There it was. So
how did that case turn out?
I don't know. It seemed to have kind of gone pretty poorly for him. He didn't have a lawyer. What can you do? But I have to say, Tom, you mentioned in the last hour, I heard you talking about how it's come up in divorces, and I can vouch for that personally. I know it's come up quite a few times.
Some of these guys have actually sent me their divorce paperwork, you know, all the papers that were served and everything. They showed me specifically where it was brought up. Some women tried to make it a condition of custody.
Yeah,
joint custody.
Yeah, I think I even told you about that. I saw one. This is years ago when I first met you, Tom. And apparently that was actually in the visitation, was that the husband or the father in this case, you know, could not have Likas playing where the children could hear it when he was with the kids. So there you go.
Oh, my.
You've really gone the whole gamut there, Tom. You're a true public menace.
I totally love it, as you know. I'm notorious.
So, I wanted to, you know, tell you, Tom, I originally started this with you a few years ago, and I thought I'd eventually run out of material, you know, but I don't think there's any danger of that ever happening. As you know, I'm doing a lot of talks about DUIs and all that, and I wanted to kind of change it up a little tonight. You know, DUI is still very important. I get a lot of calls, and I can only tell the people to shut the fuck up. Pardon my French, because I still have guys calling me, Tom, that are P1s that know the show, and they still talk to the cops and do all this, you know, breath tests and everything else they're not supposed to do. But, you know, one of the really nice things that you can do as a lawyer, anyone who's ever thinking of becoming one, is to stick up for the little guy or the underdog or whatever you want to call him. And, you know, Tom, there are a lot of guys out there who don't have an FU fund. And they end up getting into situations at work, and we've all heard about this, you know, like workplace violence and workplace intimidation, and they end up having to stay. It reminds me a little bit about when you see one of these women that's really abused by her husband, and she's been with him for incredibly long amounts of time, and you say, why'd you stay? And she had, like, nowhere to go or whatever. I had a lot of cases where a guy is in a very toxic environment at work with a really crazy boss or whatever, and he's, you know, just needs the job, and he's kind of used to the job or whatever, and he, like, literally is under the boss's thumb and doesn't know what to do. We talked about restraining orders, as you know, and that's something that usually comes up in the context of family law. But there's also another thing that's called a civil restraining order. And a civil restraining order is a restraining order against someone that you're not dating and not related to. The family law one, of course, is against the wife or the husband or whatever. In this case, there's a guy, and I think hopefully Dino has him on the line, who I represented, who was in a work environment, in a workplace with a boss who was a real bully and actually got violent with him, would you believe?
Wow.
Yeah, he pissed him off somehow with some project that they were working on, and this guy actually pushed him in a meeting. They were in a meeting, and he walked up and he pushed him in front of several other people, and we got a restraining order, and I want him to tell the story, but basically, this guy literally...
Well, he is here. If you want to put him on, we can put him on now, or you can give him a bigger intro. What do you want to do?
Give me two more seconds.
Okay.
He literally, we put this guy in his place. He was on the verge of actually losing his job, and ultimately, this guy's entire work situation has really, really improved for the better. And this is, for me, you know, the little guy sticking up against essentially the Goliath. So let's put him on. What are we calling him tonight, Tom?
I think we're calling him John.
Okay. Let's have John.
That's his name for tonight. So here's John.
Hello, Dad and Adam.
All right.
There we go. A real P1. Look at that.
Hey there, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, Adam.
I didn't realize you could sing. So, John, I try to give you a little intro. I want you to tell us about you're an engineer, right?
Correct.
And you work for a big company.
I do.
It will be unnamed. And
that it will not be. Yeah.
And we had this. You had this situation. You came to me with where you were being pushed around by this president or vice president, like one of the big managers, right?
Right.
So tell us what happened.
Yeah, it's been going on, not at the physical level for quite a bit. He's just constantly dogging the engineers and trying to assert himself. And it just culminated with, as you said, we're in a meeting, and I was just taking him to task. Like, I was so tired of his bullshit. And I said, hey, look, you know, it's pretty obvious from your questions. You haven't looked at any of the material, and you're telling me that I haven't given you what you need, but it's really all there. And you haven't even looked at it. So that set him off. You know, he turned around and he said, don't fucking start with me, John. Get the fuck out of here, John. And he brought both arms up to his chest and pushed me out the door.
Unbelievable. And this was in front of some people, right?
Wow.
It was in front of my coworkers and my manager.
Can you imagine how humiliating, Tom? It's unbelievable. So,
it's outrageous.
Now, you were listening to Lycus and you knew me from the show, right?
Correct. Yeah, I'm a longtime listener, and I've rarely missed an episode of yours when you're on.
So tell us what happened.
Yeah. So we're in the booth, and I'm giving like my spiel. Okay, here's how it works. You can click on this and click on that, and it'll do this and that and the other thing. And he said, and I saw him like hovering over buttons so that he could write down tooltips. Which are, you know, just information about what a button does. And I said, you know, if you want, I can send you a file with a list of all these tooltips. And he said, well, ask for that 3 weeks ago. And I said, well, you didn't ask me. And, like, I can't read your mind.
All right, so he's just picking a fight with you. But what happened in terms of after the incident?
Oh, my God. Yeah, so after it was over, I left. I went back to my cube. I gathered up all my stuff. I just wanted to leave. I didn't want to be in that situation anymore. I was tired of it. And he came by and he said, John, you know, I'm really sorry and all this stuff. And I just wanted him to get away from me. I didn't want to be around him. And so I said, look, and he was cutting me off. In other words, I couldn't get out of my cube without...
I was like blocking you.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I'm real sorry and all this stuff. And I was like, look, you know, I just want to go home. I just want to leave. I don't want to be here anymore. And he started talking to me and trying to smooth things over. And I was like, fuck, I just want to get the fuck out of here. And so I said, don't worry. You know, I'm sure, I wish you the best of luck tomorrow because the customer was coming for the demo. Wish you the best of luck tomorrow. And that finally got him to leave. And, you know, as on his way out, he's saying, oh, you know, I'm sure everything will go fine. And then as soon as that happened, I got in my car, I went home, and I called the show because you were going to be on that night. And I wanted to somehow get in touch with you and with that, of course.
Now, were you thinking that, like, you might have to, like, quit the job or you might have to leave the job?
Well, I was under the impression that I would be fucked. Like, here's,
like,
you know,
what do you mean,
very,
like, fired, maybe?
Well, in a sense, yeah. Here's a higher-up, and, you know, he's pissed, and he had already lied about me before. And someone above him had come down and called me pathetic for something that was sabotage on the other guy's part and the guy who pushed me's part. And so I was completely stuck. I was thinking to myself, I'm so tired of this. And how do I get out from under this? No matter how well I perform, I have to deal with this sabotage and lying. What am I supposed to do?
Right.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
So then we met in court, right?
We did indeed.
And what happens? Just talk about, like, because, like, a lot of guys, you know, are intimidated. They don't know where to start. What was your experience like?
I called you and I listened to everything you had to say, and I was thinking to myself the whole time, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. You know, Adam, you are really confident, so I'm just gonna go with it. Like, everyone else I've talked to, you know, is like, eh, well, you know, it's kind of, and of course they, well, I would have kicked his ass, and it's like, you can't do that because then you have a criminal record and you can't get a job ever again. And so I felt stuck, but you offered this plan by which I could realize an end to the situation in my benefit. And so I went with exactly what you said to do, despite the fact, I might add, that all the people that we asked to stick up for all the people that were there at the time, wouldn't do it. They were completely petrified.
Yeah, Tom, this is kind of a tragedy. I just, you know, in the course of doing my due diligence, I called and spoke to the other people that witnessed this, and, you know,
yeah,
they had gotten to them. And these guys are looking at their job and their career, and the last thing they wanted to do was, you know, to talk about what happened. It was terrible, you know? So
what do you do when the people who witness something like that don't want to talk? How do you get around them?
Well, you can subpoena them, but then that's even worse, you know? Then they come in, they're pissed off, they say, oh, I don't remember, I don't want to deal with it. And, you know, this guy had been a bully for a long time and had bullied all these other workers into submission. And what was really beautiful is that, you know, John finally stood up to the guy. I filed a case for a restraining order. We went into court. We just tortured the guy. It was like whatever. And he literally ended up getting into the thing with a company with human resources. And the hearing was very, very much against him. And how's work now, John? What's the story? How are we doing?
Oh, it's completely night and day. It's completely night and day. There's no more of that bullshit. I can just work and get stuff done. You know, we've been approved for overtime, so I've been working 72 hours a week, getting paid time and a half. Despite, independent of all that, I still plan to start my own business. But the current situation that you have provided me is just so much more relaxed.
And this guy stays out of your way.
Oh, yeah. He avoids you like the plague, which is great.
Think about that, Tom.
So here's what I want to understand. How did you settle the matter through a settlement? How did this settle out?
We had like a mini trial, Tom. We actually, yeah, you know, prove what happened. I mean, what did you think of my trial skills? This is important.
Oh, that was fantastic. It was almost similar to an enhanced episode of Law and Order. You know, just so the general people can kind of identify with it. There was one point in time where the respondent's attorney was asking, you know, this question. Oh, was John doing this? You know, me. Was John doing this? And then he made this reach. The respondent's attorney made this stretch, saying, "Oh, so John was being disruptive." And at this point, I was on the stand, and Adam spoke up, and he said, "Objection, Your Honor. How did we?" I can't remember exactly what you said, Adam, but it was something to the effect of, "How did we get to the point where John is all of a sudden being disruptive? I've never heard that said." And I was like, I was thinking, "Fuck yeah, fuck you." You know?
I love it, man. That's so great.
Because
wow,
that's the kind of shit I've been having to deal with, is like people twisting shit just because I'm not of that level.
Yeah. I mean, let's say it straight. You're a little bit of a nerd, right? You're kind of an engineering nerd.
Yeah, I'm an engineer. I like math and science, and so consequently, you know, I'm not so keen on the social aspect, and I haven't invested so much time in, I don't know how to say it, other than, you know, quote unquote being cool. And two, like, I would venture to say, not a whole lot of people understand what it is engineers actually do and the time it takes to produce a quality product. And I want to produce a quality product. But, you know, with all this undermining political crap, it's next to impossible.
No, you know that one of the things that Tom's been so proud of with the new normal is getting rid of the whole corporate world and the whole corporate BS that comes along with that. And unfortunately, not everyone can do that. And I'm really hopeful that you start your own business in the future. But I want people to be aware, from your experience and your example, that you don't have to be abused in that way. And that even in the workplace, this guy was crazy and really went too far. And there are various methods that we can use legally to stick it to him. And I if nothing else, I got to say, I he was petrified. He was really petrified. He had been with the company for a very long time, and he got as close as he could possibly get. And if I was him, I wouldn't even look at you. I think he just got the hell away from you as far as he could and will never come back. And obviously that's opened up a whole different environment for you. So I'm really happy about that.
I am too, and I wrote in my little blue notebook here, don't forget, and then the date. I don't know if I can say the date, I won't, but don't forget the date so that I know why I want to start my own business.
Wow, good for you. So it's going to be a rocket fuel for your career,
Rick. Yeah, as soon as overtime is no longer approved, and this is really rare, I might add, that an engineer gets paid overtime, usually we're all salary. So I want to take advantage of this as possibly even another way to stick it back to the company. You know? So I've been working 72 hours, the max, overtime before you go to California double time to build up capital and all that, and so that I can have that available during the process of starting my own company. And I will work during the time that I start my own company. You know, I happen to not be married. You know, Adam was mentioning married people, but I think, Adam, you may have just been generalizing. because I followed your advice, Dad, and I don't want to get married. I don't want to have kids. I don't want that burden. I've listened to Adam's stories about people getting married. I don't want that burden.
Well, this is the deal, Tom.
That would be another problem. You'll be back in court with that.
Well, generally when I'm, you know, with the client and we're waiting for a case to get called or whatever, you know, we just start bullshitting. And I was just talking to John, you know, like for whatever few hours we had together, you know, in court and stuff. And I was telling him stories of cases that I had done and, you know, how bad marriage turns out. And I could see that his face was showing more and more shock as time went on, you know.
Oh, yep. My.
And then when we were in court that one day, remember there was that crackhead?
Oh, God.
And, this crackhead was admitting. He's like, yeah, you know, I was living with this really good guy, and I stole some of his stuff so that I could go buy crack. And then when the woman was like, that's why I want a restraining order against him, he's like, what? You know? Typical crackhead behavior.
Oh, my.
Now, the other people sometimes, Tom, the other cases are sometimes very entertaining, you know? You need some
distraction. I'm sure that's true. You know, having been in court, being sued, I spent a lot of time in the courthouse, and I saw some of that craziness. And I can only imagine how entertaining it is in a given day.
Well, anyways, thanks for coming on, John. I really appreciate it.
No, Adam, thank you. Thank you for all you've done for me. And I mean, it's like I would really recommend that everyone who has a problem like this just give you a call. And you'll talk to them and explain their options, and it's worth their time to investigate. And of course, also listen to Tom, you know, when he talks about not getting married and all that shit.
Right. You don't want that. No more trouble.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, you two. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for calling in, John. There we go.
So, see, Tom, this was a little different. This was, you usually refer to me as, you know, criminal defense. But this is sort of like criminal offense, because
right.
I was essentially going after this other guy in a sort of quasi-criminal kind of way. And this is something that people have to know. You know, a lot of people suffer in silence. And, you know, our experience generally, we've talked about the stereotype, and because we're, you know, representing guys and sticking up for guys, about a guy who's got a restraining order against him and how he has to defend himself and so forth. But you should know that very often I bring restraining orders against other people who are intimidating my client, such as this John in the workplace, and obviously also in family law cases and so forth. You know, it's really amazing, but the statistics are actually quite true that a lot of abuse is done by women. and against men, and in partner violence, and also just in regular relationships, and you see in work relationships and so forth. There, it's very common where someone who's stupid and insecure works his way into a management position and feels that he has to, you know, push everybody around to kind of, you know, show his dominance or his alpha qualities or whatever. And that's very, very much what was going on in this case. And I got to tell you, Tom, one of the worst things you can do, and by the way, I've always heard this from women, one of the worst problems you can have in the workplace is to have a woman boss when you're a woman. Because in spite of what you've heard, women are very, very cruel to one another. And, you know, when I was in high school or something, they were saying how, you know, if women rule the world, you know, there wouldn't be any wars, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, I know. By the way, as I always say, and this doesn't represent Adam, it doesn't necessarily represent his opinion,
okay.
But I always say nobody hates women more than other women.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true.
You can talk about misogyny all you want, but, you know, when a woman has a woman boss, that's the most volatile situation I've ever witnessed.
Definitely. And Chris Rock talked about that. And when you talk about women in leadership, where you talk about, for example, Margaret Thatcher in England or Golda Meir in Israel, I mean, these are women that were very, very tough, very, very ruthless, started wars, you know, broke up unions. It's no joke.
Right. Yes.
You know, there was there was in England, there was like the coal miner crisis for years, and Thatcher was like, you know, uncompromising, unflinching. She went to war against Argentina, you might recall.
I do.
No, but I thought if she was a woman running the country, I thought everyone would be, you know, singing Kumbaya and whatnot. I'm surprised.
Oh, no. Because it really takes one real bitch of a woman to get elected.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton, for example, 2016. You have to be a real bitch.
I don't know. Hillary, you think, you know, you had said this in the past. We talked about how the country hated the thought so much of having a woman president that we elected a black man instead, you know?
Right. That's how much we hate women. We elected a black guy.
So do you think that we're getting over that? Because you also said that, I got to quote you, Tom, you said that Hillary would never be president. You remember that?
I do believe that. Again,
you stand behind that now, huh?
You know, if you look back at presidential elections over the every 4-year cycle. At this point in the cycle, they're always saying that Rudy Giuliani's going to be president,
runner,
or Mario Cuomo, or Ross Perot,
right.
And then these guys never get elected.
Yeah.
You will recall that back 4 years ago right now, the two front runners, according to the New York media, were Rudy Giuliani for the Republicans and Hillary Clinton for the Democrats. Neither one even got nominated.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just my opinion, but I think that Hillary had a stroke. And that's something that's being kind of pushed on the side, that something happened to her or whatever.
Does she have symptoms of having a stroke?
Yeah, she looks like someone who had a stroke, Tom. They said it was some kind of thrombosis or something in her face or her brain. I don't think she's healthy enough to be the president. I think that's going to be the end of her.
Oh, my.
Just my opinion.
Probably means we get Joe Biden.
Oh, my God. Did you know, Tom, seriously, he's a lawyer. You know, he cheated in law school. Did you know that?
The guy was a plagiarist.
Yeah.
He got caught.
Yeah. I mean, if I had done that in law school, that would have been the end of me. I don't know how Biden pulled that one out. Give him a lot of credit.
I wonder if he'd be the first president with hair plugs.
I don't know. Well, God help us. God help us.
You got to wonder.
And who are the Republicans going to put, Tom? I don't want to think about that. That'll
God
be
only knows. God only knows. All right, here we are. We are here with Adam Sachs. And this week he is talking about criminal matters, primarily DUI, drug offenses. Maybe somebody accused you of breaking and entering. Maybe somebody accused you of worse. Who knows? This is what he does every day. He goes to court and fights for people like you. You may have a question, just like that last guy, John, we talked to. John started off as a caller, and look how much better his situation got once he employed an attorney. Now, by the way, I might add something to what you were saying earlier about that, Adam, and that is this. Companies hate nothing more than litigation. You know, everybody was afraid of confronting their boss in court. There is nothing companies fear more than litigation. They settle cases all the time, including some of the crackpots and the slaggers and all those people who come into the office and don't do any work just to keep out of the courtroom. So when you tell people they're going to court, they are scared to death. And if you come with a good attorney, they are more scared to death. They may try to act like they are brave and they're going to win and they've got the big law firm or something. But believe me, companies are settling out all the time because they're scared to death of having to go through a prolonged trial, negative publicity. Who knows how much the jury will award them, blah, blah, blah. So having a good attorney, and I speak from personal experience of having, someone threw a spitball at me and I dropped a nuclear bomb on them. I come back.
I love how you take things in proportions, Tom.
I lawyer up. I do. And I've never regretted it. So that's just my personal feeling about having a good legal mind or a legal team. Just ask O.J. Simpson. You know what? You come up with the good lawyers.
Oh, God.
This is what you get. You get the justice you pay for. That's the reality. Our politicians are paid off. And frankly, the better your judge, the better your lawyer, the better the chances that you're going to get off the hook or you're going to get a good settlement or you're going to win money.
Well, I was really proud in this case to stick up for the little guy. And, I didn't want to, embarrass, John. But I got to tell you, Tom, when he came to me at first, he was so scared. He was so intimidated. He had been so humiliated and beaten down by this asshole. And now he's going into work, and this guy is staying away from him. Talk about turning it around.
Right. Exactly right. All right, we're going to take a break. We've got calls coming in. We want to get to those. If you would like to talk to Adam, you can call. I didn't even give out the number yet. 901-3000-TOM is the number. 901-3000-TOM. They're coming in droves here.
Chomping
it's
at the bit.
Well, you know what? You might be right. 901-3000-866.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
You guys know about vaping, right? Vaping, the alternative to smoking. You can get your nicotine fix without all the tar and harmful chemicals. If you vape, you're interested in vaping or looking for an alternative to cigarettes, let me turn you on to our P1s over at GQ Vape. GQ Vape offers unique quality blends. Now, these guys are doing so well that you can find their products nationwide and you can buy direct. Just go to GQVape.com. That's GQVape.com. They offer a variety of flavors, including fruit, candy, coffee, and tea, with varying nicotine levels, or even blends with no nicotine at all. It's GQVape.com. They're even taking applications for wholesale inquiries, and you can fill one out right there at GQVape.com. They guarantee fast delivery and great customer service. So check them out today. It's GQVape.com.
On this episode of Swamp Stupid, Dino loses a precious limb after zipping his cock up in his overalls. Retard attempts to remove it with a hunting knife, and shit gets crazy. They ain't just stupid, they're Swamp Stupid. Go to GaryandDino.com.
We've been encouraging some of the small and medium-sized businesses out there to advertise on our show because radio has pretty much let them know they're not welcome with really high prices on their commercials. And our friends at Kelly Controls, they heard our call when we said, hey, small and medium-sized businesses, step it up. And here's Kelly Controls for all your industrial, electric, and system integration services throughout California. You just call Kelly Controls at 661-294-8000. Now, Kelly Controls specializes in PLC, automation, SCADA systems, variable frequency drives, instrumentation, and process and motion control. Kelly Controls can help you complete your project and get your equipment up and running quickly and professionally. All you have to do is call Kelly Controls at 661-294-8000. You got that? 661-294-8000. 8000, or you can visit them online at kellycontrols.com. And let me spell Kelly for you. K-E-L-L-E-Y, controls.com.
Hammer time.
Oh, yes, Tom Likas show, you bet it is. And here we are with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs at your phone call at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. 901-3000-866. Are you ready to dive into these?
Let's go.
All right, let's go with Richard in Los Angeles. Richard, you're on the bonus hour of the Tom Likas show with attorney Adam Sachs.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Richard. What's up?
You were talking about restraining orders and stuff like that, and
sure.
I've been having this issue with a family member of mine. He's like a straight meth head. He's living in a trailer right outside of my my family member's house, and we don't know how to get rid of him.
Okay, well, I mean, what's he doing? Is he has to be bothering you in some way or doing something? You can't just get rid of him.
I mean, he's pretty much a drug dealer. Like, he brings a lot of like other crackheads and meth heads around. We got like kids running around and stuff like that, trying to ride bikes, and here he is, getting high in his trailer, like no more than like 10 feet away from him. It's like pretty crazy.
No, it sounds like a bit of a public nuisance. I would just suggest calling the police or something. If he's selling meth, that's against the law.
We've called the police, and like they'll like break down his windows and stuff like that, but they never catch him. And like we know he's doing it, but every time they'll have him in the cop car, they'll search him and everything. They never find anything, and sometimes I'll call the police and they won't even show up.
Wow,
it's real crazy.
All right. Well, generally speaking, I mean, you can definitely sue him for some kind of nuisance issue. I certainly can help you, but a restraining order is very specific. And a restraining order generally, whatever it is, civil or family, which is domestic, is over something that happened. So, like, a woman against her husband because he pushed her or punched her or yelled at her or threatened her or something. In a civil case, there has to be, like, this guy that we had on before, some kind of an incident where the person scared you or threatened you or whatever. I might be able to do something based on his general behavior, being harmful to the neighborhood. But that's kind of loose.
That's the problem. It is his behavior. He's always picking fights with other people from the neighborhood. He's always yelling about people. He's just completely out of control. He's like always on drugs. And he's a family member, so none of his he literally has his trailer connected to their house with a wire, to keep the power going. And
wow.
His parents don't want to put him in jail. And my grandma lives next door too, and they don't want to do anything about it. And I mean, I'm the only one who's are you serious? This guy's got to go, And I called the cops on him and things like that, but they just don't do anything. And I don't know what to do. And I have little, I'm Mexican. I got a big family. I got little cousins and stuff running around trying to, ride bikes. And I just hate to grow up in an environment like this, and no one's doing anything about it. And then when I try to do something about it, I can't find any help.
All right, well, give me a call. I'll try to help you. But, this is something that Tom's always talked about. I think, Tom, you had these cousins and uncles that were heroin addicts and whatnot. It's amazing.
Yes.
I think you were talking about this on the show the other day, how incredibly tolerant and even supportive and enabling families are with regard to these people. It's amazing.
And people will give you money for another fix. I had three brothers, all cousins of mine. They were all brothers, all in the same family. And they were all heroin addicts, all three of them.
Unbelievable.
And good luck getting them out of your house. Remember the story about the former Philadelphia Eagles coach, Andy Reid? He's now with the Kansas City Chiefs. He had to turn in his own sons.
Wow.
Because he didn't want to have drugs in the house, and they just kept coming home and doing drugs.
That's incredible.
Finally he had to do something about it because nobody else would do anything about it.
Well, what's remarkable, and this is what he's talking about here, is I guess the grandmother or the family, the parents, whatever, they're totally aware of what's going on, and they're, shrug their shoulders, but on some other level, they're allowing it to continue, and they're supporting it in a way, giving him money.
Well, generally speaking, and I've lived with it, Adam, and generally speaking, the people who are robbing other people's houses to buy meth, they're also robbing the house of the family that supposedly loves them.
That's true. He's attempted robbery, breaking into my house, which is unsuccessful. But he's broken into his own parents' house.
But Tom, why are they tolerant of that? It's terrible.
Because that's what codependency is all about.
Sick.
You know, having grown up with an alcoholic father and three heroin-addicted cousins, I've read some books on this subject, and I spent some time talking about it in therapy. And I will tell you, it's pretty much the same M.O. everywhere you go. That's what you get.
You know, I've seen the codependent wife, you know, bringing booze and serving booze to her husband. It's like, are you out of your mind?
Hey, I'm sure you've heard me talk about my own mother, who used to sit in the passenger seat next to my dad with a church key can opener and used to open cans of Schaefer beer and hand them over to my dad who was driving.
All right, well, I don't want to trash your mom here, Tom.
That is codependent behavior.
You were talking about how terrifying it was for you the night he drove you home and was going to dump you in Plainview or whatever, you know?
He almost dumped me off in your backyard there.
Yes, I recall. I would have picked you up if you had only called.
Sunnyside Boulevard, Holiday Inn, know where that is.
That was my exit. But what I don't understand is how your mom is sitting there in the passenger seat and she's handing him frickin' beers.
Yep.
That's remarkable.
Well, my mom had brothers who were alcoholics, and she married an alcoholic. That's the reality.
And I would have been terrified of his driving. You said he was in accidents all the time, right?
Terrified of his driving. My dad, as I've told the story on the show, my dad came over at 1:30 a.m. to East Flatbush, to East 51st Street and Clarendon Road in East Flatbush.
Uncle Jay's house.
My Uncle Jerry and his son. My cousin Jerry. And what happened was my dad showed up at the door, pounding on the door at 1:30 a.m., demanding that I pack my things and come home. And home was 50 miles away.
I understand, but why would your mother have not been similarly terrified by the same behavior?
Because she grew up around it. She had a brother who was an alcoholic, and he worked as a bartender. I mean, she grew up around it. It was normal to her. Remember the old laxative commercial where they said, normal is what's normal to you. But you know what? It was a laxative commercial, but that's exactly right. Nothing is normal. Here we are at the new normal. Normal is what's normal to you. And if you grew up around people who are alcoholics and drug addicts, if that's what you grew up around, then that's what you're comfortable with.
Well, I give you a lot of credit for not thinking it was normal yourself, Tom.
Well, again, though, it's not easy to be the one who says the emperor has no clothes. You get a lot of blowback from everybody else.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we can definitely help you with that. I can get you some kind of order and get rid of this guy or whatever you want to do. But I think Tom's right. I think you're going to get a lot of flack from your family, so I hope you're prepared for that.
Yeah, because they all talk about they want him out, but he gets real violent.
But I'm telling you, if you finish him off, if we really get rid of him, they're going to turn on you. Seriously.
I can give a shit less about that.
All right.
It's going to benefit us all in the end.
I respect that, but that's a tough choice for people to make.
And be aware that even if he goes to jail, you know how prison is in California. He'll be out of there in 2.5 years or less.
It's 2.5 hours.
And you know the first place he's going after he gets out.
It's coming right to look for you.
Exactly.
To have a talk about what happened.
You know what I do in situations like that? Move.
Yeah, by the way, what are you sticking around with your whole family like that? Come on, man.
I mean, I'm in a struggle right now. I'm just trying to get out of here too, you know. But I mean, I'm trying to look out for my family, my little cousins and stuff like that. I don't want to grow up around this crap, you know. They don't deserve it.
I don't think they're your responsibility. I think they have parents.
You're right.
And your parents are going to invite everybody right back in after it's all over, and then everybody's going to gang up on you. Take it from me.
It's remarkable on some level, Tom, how I think it was your sisters and brothers. I'm not sure exactly who, but I know that they were angry at you, that you were angry at your father. You weren't supposed to be, you know? You weren't supposed to bear any animosity for all this.
Right. But I did. See, I did what I'm recommending to the caller here, Richard. I got out at age 16. It wasn't easy to leave home at age 16. Wasn't easy to live on my own. Wasn't easy to pay my own bills. But nobody was hearing me. Nobody was listening to what I was saying about what was going on, and so I had to get out. So if it were me giving you a non legal recommendation, my advice to you would be to get out. And you know what? It's every man for himself. Everybody's got to get out of there because the enabling parents are going to welcome the offender right back in. He'll have keys. He'll have access to everybody's wallets. And the shit will start all over again. And I'm telling you because I've been there.
I hear you, man. I appreciate that.
But if you want to take legal action, Adam's the main.
Thanks, Tom.
I think like Tom's advice a little bit better because you know that makes a lot of sense. He is gonna just gonna turn around and come back doing the same shit. It's not gonna change.
By the way, for the record, Adam was kind of giving you the same advice. You know, as much as Adam would like to have your business, I think Adam was kind of saying the same thing I was. Maybe it with a spoonful of sugar because it came from me, but. You take it from me. We're just looking out for your best interests here, Rich.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Can you blow me up?
I can blow you up. Here you go. There you go. You know, I'd love to send him into your office, Adam, but my fear is after he solves the problem, he comes home and then his relative gets out of prison and then heads straight for him and strangles him or carves a hole in his back or something.
All right. Well, I don't have to get all the cases, Tom.
I know. Well, sometimes you just gotta, you know, come on. And even you were ambivalent about telling him to take legal action in this case. Come on.
You know, and it's not stereotypical, Tom, but I mean, he said he was a Mexican. He's got this big family. They're closely knit. They all live together in the same area, right? So he's gonna be the odd man out who goes after this guy, and everyone else is gonna be on the guy's side.
My way to solve the problem, I think, is the most pragmatic, and that is you got to find another place to live. That's what you got to do.
I think that's harder to do than you acknowledge, Tom, seriously.
Oh, I'm not saying it was hard for me to do it, but it was a lot easier than continuing to try to fight against the tide.
You know, Tom, I did a case this week, the family law, but whatever. I did a case this week, and I think we're going to have this guy next week as a guest, maybe. But anyway, talk about a screwed-up marriage, a sexless marriage, a catastrophe every which way you can imagine. And he stayed for almost 30 years. He's finally getting a divorce now. And she always promised him she didn't want his money and she wouldn't go after him for alimony or whatever. And now she is, of course. And he's very shocked and he's losing a lot of his money. But I mean 30 frickin' years.
Wow.
It's hard for people to make a change. It's very, very difficult.
It is hard. But I would hate to see somebody like that succeed at getting his family member put in prison. And then to see that guy come out in, you know, 30 minutes and then come right for him. That's the kind of thing that I envision, and I don't want to see that happen to him.
No.
Find a new place to live.
I agree with that, but I don't know that you can also live your life afraid of what the person's revenge is going to be, you know?
No, but it's not just the revenge. It's the fact that the family, you think you're doing the right thing, protecting your nephews and everything, but the family will just turn against you. They will stop talking to you or worse. That's what they will do.
Well, that's, a rock and a hard place? I don't know what to say.
Well, that's why I'm saying if you're choosing they got two bad choices.
Shit choices.
I think the most pragmatic choice is to move to another zip code and then see people when it's convenient for you.
Far out.
You know, just tell them, you know, I'll be over. Find out who's going to be over that day, and if the offending parties are not going to be there, go over and visit your relatives.
I don't know. It's very strange. I think that people also try to avoid confrontations. They don't know what to do. I think that when you talk about drug addicts, Tom, that's one of the most difficult things of all. And as much as you talk about these people...
It's not just drug addicts. It's any addicts. Alcoholics. Yeah. We have more alcoholics than drug addicts.
No, of course.
Believe me, it's all the same deal. You know?
I talked to a woman who had a gambling addict for a husband. That's very difficult also.
Yeah.
But the problem is, you know, when it's someone you're married to or, God help you, one of your children, that's heavy shit, you know? I mean, you can just cut that person off. I mean, that's very, very difficult for people to contemplate, and understandably so. And you see there's this crazy kind of hope. I saw it even in a case the other day where the guy had just gone on and on and on, and the wife was getting a restraining order and all these other things. And she literally was crying, you know, through her tears, saying, "I still hope he can be sober. You know, I hope he'll sober up." which is, I think, the big lie of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, that somehow these
people as I recover. Always say, I hope Santa Claus is coming to town on December 24th. I'm hoping for that.
But somehow that's absolutely impossible, but somehow this addict stopping the drugs seems possible.
I think it's more likely that Santa Claus is coming to town on December 24th, having been
right.
through this myself. I, you know, come on.
Now, what if you had Philip Seymour Hoffman for a husband or a father? What the hell do you do?
Right. Exactly.
So you say, okay, there's no way he's ever going to stop, so you have to accept him as a heroin addict until he kills himself.
There's no way he's going to stop, and so whatever decisions you make have to be based on the fact that he's never going to stop.
It's disgusting.
It's the hardest thing for families of addicts to accept. An addict is an addict is an addict. And they are going to be addicts no matter what. And you can send them to 12-step programs, and you can pray with them, and you can go to therapy with them. You can go to Promises or one of these rehab facilities with them, blah, blah, blah. You can do interventions. It isn't going to change, period.
Hey, very
well. I have a zero-tolerance policy, Adam. I'm going to tell you. If you stick a needle in your arm, if you drink at 10 a.m. every day, you're out. I have no part of you. I'm done.
I understand, Tom, and I respect that. I know you don't have kids, but what if it was one of your kids, for God's sake? What
Guess
do you do?
What? Tough Love. You ever read that book in the
Yeah,
late
by the way, it's a great
love.
Book, and you mentioned it a few times.
Yes.
I do know that book, and it's a great book, and I did read it. But ultimately, Tough Love was supposed to take steps and being tough on the person to get them to stop. But I don't believe in that anymore, Tom. I don't
believe you can stop anyone from doing anything. In fact, I don't think you can change anyone. And that includes especially addicts.
Yeah, but that's the lie of the 12-step program. The 12-step program suggests that the person's going to go to meetings, they're going to go twice a week, they're going to improve, their behavior's going
to
change.
They're going to become addicted to going to meetings.
No, but I think they're still going to keep their primary addiction or trade it for another one.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And like I said, I think alcoholics go to Alcoholics Anonymous. They've just taken the addiction to alcohol and change it into an addiction to going to meetings and then talking about them incessantly.
And a coffee.
Yeah. You know what? Come on. It's
Cigarettes.
Alcoholics Anonymous, all right? If you're a member, shut up about it, all right? Don't talk to us.
No, I got to go to my meeting. I'm going to my meeting.
Shut up. That's what I say. I've literally said this to people because if you have addicts in your family, they've been there. And I just tell them, I don't want to hear about it. No, you're anonymous, right? So stop talking to me about it. Stop.
You're tough, Tom.
Don't want to hear about it.
Unbelievable.
Because in the end, you're going to fall off the wagon, and then you're going to go to a meeting and say, I fell off the wagon. Well, it's like people who go to confession. You know, it's great. You can keep doing bad things, and then you get absolved, and you start with a clean slate and do it all over again.
Well, the line is, relapse is part of recovery.
Right. That's the excuse.
Yes,
that's
so that means that, you know, when you don't know, okay, so when a person gets one of those, like, pins that's, like, 5 years sober.
Right.
Or one of those little coins, like a chip. Looks like
they call them chips, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, that doesn't mean what you think it means. You know, in my thinking, as someone who's not an alcoholic, not involved in the program, you know, okay, so you haven't had one single drop of alcohol for 5 years, but that's not how it works at all. You know, you've just relapsed, but not too many times, because relapse is part of recovery.
No patience for it. And you know what? If people who love addicts would stop giving them second chances, that would be their best hope of recovery.
Where would they be? Homeless?
Well, at some point, maybe they finally have an incentive to give up drinking. But if you know your mom's going to buy you a keg of beer for your birthday, or if you know that somebody...
You want a fucking kegerator?
You know that your aunt is going to give you money for your next fix, but this is the last time, young man, you're not going to stop.
Yeah, but look at this, again, Philip Seymour Hoffman, right? I mean, he was independently rich, right?
Right.
And so he wasn't, you know, he would have been, you know, blowing people in the back alley if he didn't have money for heroin. But since
I'm not sure that he wasn't blowing people in the back alley based on what I read.
My understanding is that he was worth millions. So he was able to finance
whatever
he wanted.
Oh, I didn't say he took any money for it. I think he was blowing people in the back alley.
Oh, dear.
He enjoyed it.
That's great.
All right. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We got a couple more calls. We're going to get to those. We're going to find out how you can get in touch with Adam. If you've got some of these issues to deal with, I'm not talking about addiction. He can't help you with that. But he can help you if your neighbor's an addict.
Anyone can help you with that, Tom.
Being on your front lawn, he can help you with that. Anyway, our telephone number, if you want to talk to Adam Sachs, 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-TOM. You can dial in right now. 901-3000-866.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
One of the most important decisions you're going to make in your life is what to study in college. Only problem is that most of you were brought up by single moms who fed you some bullshit that you can just follow your heart and the money will follow. Now you hear on the news about all the college graduates who can't find jobs. Unemployment is over 8%. Unemployment for people between 16 and 34 is 18%. You can't afford to piss away $100,000 in tuition, let alone 4 years of your youth on a worthless degree. That's why you need to get the book Worthless by Aaron Clary. If you're going to college or thinking about going to college, this is invaluable information. Worthless breaks down all the different degrees, their starting salaries, why some are worthwhile, and why others are literally worthless. And girls, this book is especially for you. Don't be that fool who majors in women's studies or communications and then expects the rest of us to carry your ass through life. Be smart. Buy Worthless. It's only $5 on Kindle and $13 in paperback, and it could change the course of your life. Worthless. It may prove to be a better investment than college itself. Find it on Amazon right now. Worthless.
Were you with Dr. Skanky Poon? He's the director of testicular abnormalities at the Poonjai Center for Ball Health. Doctor, what can you tell us about tiny ball syndrome?
Oh, totally tiny. Terribly tiny balls.
Yes, it's tiny ball syndrome.
Terribly tiny, totally tiny balls.
Well, you heard the doctor.
Terribly tiny.
Don't let it happen to you.
Tiny, tiny balls.
Newer, faster, harder. New normal rock.
How do you like to improve your financial future? Simply by watching videos. Well, these are not just any videos. They're webinars by Dennis. And they could be exactly what you need to get on the road to financial success. In his 30 years as a consultant and tax professional, here's someone who's seen it all, breaking down the books of hundreds of clients and even helping people like you start their own business ventures. And with that experience, he's developed a trusted reputation as having a unique and insightful look at both the successes and pitfalls of those seeking to attain personal wealth. And now he's sharing that knowledge with you in a series of videos called Webinars by Dennis, packed full of experiences, anecdotes, and practical tricks of the trade that could help you find that business angle that's been eluding you. Watch them on your Mac, PC, or smartphone, and become inspired to succeed in the way you've always dreamed of. Just go to this website, webinarsbydennis.com. That's webinarsbydennis.com. You could be one video away from living the dream.
Hammer time.
It's the Tom Likas Show. Bonus hour with attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can email me, adam@adamlawyer.com, or you can check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And I actually answer my phone. Yay.
Yes. Yeah, I would tell people to try it, but, you know, they'd be smartasses about it. But anyway, yes, Adam Sachs, he's here every Tuesday. We continue with your call. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number to talk to Adam. 901-3000-866. Let's say hi to Guillermo in Burbank. And on the Tom Likas Show, hello.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. What can we do for you?
Hey, Guillermo, what's up?
All right. How you doing, Adam? I got a question that I was listening to a story earlier. It got me a little curious. I had an incident at work, and I wasn't too sure what to do with it, where there was some ongoing incidents with a coworker. Excuse me.
Okay.
And bless so him. I was wondering, my question is there a statute of limitations with the time that goes by when
yes, of course,
nothing
of
occurs
course.
When your boss when your boss is in a, I guess, discipline, the person you had a problem with at work, so to say?
Well, yes, of course. I mean, as time goes by, you know, witnesses fade, memories fade. Eventually, it's impossible to do it. You can't wait too long. That's certainly
right.
True.
Right, what would
of,
be too long?
Well, I don't know what kind of incident we're talking about. What happened?
Well, he was just trying to be a bully. It was reported, documented on my end.
And when was it?
About 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long time.
Right, right. So I figured I'd call in and ask and see maybe if it's worth mentioning. But it was all documented, and unfortunately, like, the supervisor really didn't do much with it.
I understand, but is it still a big problem for you? I mean, what you know, has it faded away as an
not
issue?
Not necessarily, but the guy that I had an incident with usually tends to bring up threats and say, I'm going to hire a lawyer or whatever. So then I just kind of wanted to. I heard Tom say it's always better to lawyer up.
I mean, not to, you know, knock you or whatever, but waiting 2 years is not appropriate. And I'm sorry that you did.
Absolutely.
What Tom said is
absolutely.
Right. You got to go for it early.
Right. So at the time, I wasn't sure because I didn't even know, you know, the complete rights of as an employee. But, it's going on about 2 years. So I just figured, you know, there hasn't been nothing major with this individual. But I just figured, did it ever arise, could it be thrown back out there? Or you're saying since there is a set of limitations?
Well, no, that's not that. I mean, like, if it's been going on for 2 years and it's still going on, that's great. It's very strong. Because it's been a long time building up, and it's still a problem. I thought what you said was that, like, there was something that happened 2 years ago and not much since then, and you want to complain about the two-year-old incident. That could be a problem.
Right. No, that's not it. It's more like it's when should it occur, it usually gets brushed under the carpet, like I said. But on my end, I just kind of did a little research, and, you know, I was given the advice to anything that occurs, document it, keep it with you. Pass the document around to whoever you had to pass it around to, your supervisor, your immediate supervisor, and so on and so forth. But again, my supervisor's not the best at sitting down and mediating, so it pretty much went nowhere. And when it did occur, it happened to be while I was on vacation, so that didn't help out the time. I just went in there to pick up a paycheck, and that's when it occurred. So, yeah, but like I said, nothing major recently, but this guy's known for, like, really, when something occurs that he's not happy with, he brings the union into it. He says, I'm going to grab a lawyer. And it's like, you kind of, like, I'm weary of what he comes up with, whether it be real or not. And should he ever have a lawyer involved, what can he throw out?
Well, you should always be prepared to fight back. That's the bottom line. It's
right,
a mistake
right.
that people make when they don't, when they, like, kind of sit there and suffer in silence. And,
right, and that's exactly what I was kind of going through at the time, not knowing that I probably should have done something right there and then. So, but I appreciate all the information you're giving us because, again, there's a lot of people I'm sure that sit there and just dwell for years and years, and they're not sure if they even have any options. So.
Excellent. All okay, right. Great.
Guillermo, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Antonio in Tracy, California. You're on the Tom Likas Show with attorney Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Cool.
Hey, you guys. I have a quick question about a speeding ticket that I got the other night. Bottom line, I know I was speeding. I was late to work. And I was going through a whole stretch of freeway out here in the Bay Area that's going under construction. And all these signs are posted, 55. And, you know, I'm speeding, and I'm kind of really, I'm going with the flow of traffic, but, you know, I know it's speeding. Everyone else was, I'm going, whatever. So anyway, pulls me over. And I, you know, immediately I thought about you guys, you know, shut up, don't say anything.
Good, good.
But be polite, you know, hands on the wheels when he comes over. First question he asks me is, do you know why I pulled you over?
Yeah. Okay. That's a great question cops use. You always say no.
And that was my answer. No.
Not really. You say, good evening, officer. No, I really don't.
And I said, no, I don't. He goes, well, I pulled you over for speeding. Do you know how fast you were going?
You say,
and I looked at him and I said, no.
Great.
He goes, didn't you see all the signs posted saying that it's 55 speed limit through here? No, I didn't.
No, the better answer would be, that's not so great. The better answer is, I thought I was driving appropriately.
Okay. That's a good, That's good to know. It won't be a next time, but.
You don't get into this, like, didn't you see the signs, asshole? Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. You just say, I thought I was, I thought I was driving fine.
Okay. I said no. Officer, I was going with the flow of traffic.
Right. Okay.
That's okay. I was tripping. I'm like, damn, dude, I was going fast, and it's 55, and I always know in the back of my mind, man, construction areas, they always post, signs to be, larger.
Double.
Snap. Right. So anyway, so he, he comes over, and he goes, all right, I'll tell you what, I wrote your ticket up as a 65-mile-per-hour zone as though there was no construction so that your fine wouldn't be as much because I got you going at 80, approximately 80, and so I wrote your ticket up for 65. So my question was, at first I thanked him. I said, okay, thank you. But I know cops aren't your friends when they're doing their job, and all he's doing is doing his job. But, he made it sound like he was doing me a favor, which, maybe he was telling me that he wrote the ticket, which, by the way, he did. He wrote the ticket for a 65-mile zone, going approximately 80. But the truth is, that's a 55-mile-per-hour zone, I want to say, 8 miles. And so my question is, isn't this kind of it's false information here. Yeah, this is my first immediate thought. I mean, I'm going to have to go to court anyways for it, but what are your thoughts?
Well, I do traffic tickets all the time. It's sort of a hobby of mine. I could certainly beat a ticket like that. Generally speaking, the cop, in a way, is trying to be nice to you. He's telling you, look, I got you at 80. I'm going to put 65. Just say thanks. Right. But the idea that you're talking about going to court and fighting it is not correct. You send a lawyer because you don't want to have to see that cop again. That's the whole point.
Okay.
You don't want to confront him. You don't want him having opinions or he doesn't like you. He doesn't remember the way you acted or whatever. This is nonsense. You send a lawyer.
Okay.
He looks at me. He wasn't expecting to see a lawyer. He doesn't know what the hell happened. He can't remember. And I get the ticket dismissed.
Oh, okay. Do you know anyone out in this area that, could help me out? I wish you were out here.
I do stuff all over the place. Give me a call after the show.
Okay, for sure.
Dean will hook you guys up.
Okay.
All right? All right, hang on there. There goes Antoni with his speeding ticket. Joe is on the 62 freeway. Joe, you're on the Tom Liga show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Joe. What can we do for you?
I got a little situation here. I want to see if Adam can give me advice here regarding. I overheard him talking about expunging criminal records, and I would like to know, how hard would it be in my situation? I've been arrested 3 times for carrying a weapon, but the first time I actually had the weapon on me, I told the officer because he was going to take me in for a warrant on a suspended license, and they were about to throw me in the cop car, and they still didn't find the gun on me. I ended up telling him I had a gun on me, and he had just pulled me over right in front of my house, and I told him that if he can leave it in my house and, go knock at the door, talk to my mom, see if I can leave the gun there. At the moment, I told him that he dragged me out of the cop car, he took the gun out, he went to my car, looked for the bullet, and told me, I just caught you with a concealed loaded weapon.
So why are you being a drama queen talking to the cops like this?
What do you mean?
Why are you having a conversation about the gun and it's in the house and it's in the car and blah blah?
No. It's because he was when he pulled me over, I was in the car. They searched me. They threw me on the cop car.
Why?
And they were because I was according to him, my registration was expired.
Yeah, that's no reason to search your car. Okay.
Okay.
Even if you have an expired registration, the police cannot search your car without probable cause. And that particularly applies to the trunk of the car. Okay? So I think personally, you were yakking with this cop and you let him know that you had a gun in the car. And that is a very ignorant thing to do. Come on.
No, honestly, I didn't tell him that I had a gun in the car. He took me out. He asked me for my license. I told him, I gave him my license. It came back. They said I had a warrant. Because I did have a ticket before and I didn't pay for it. It was for driving with no insurance.
So if you're carrying around a gun that's not registered and you don't have a concealed weapons permit, why are you driving without insurance?
That was the thing. I was coming out from work and I lived in the ugly neighborhood in Long Beach.
Okay.
And I will carry the gun because there were always shootouts between the gang members out there in that neighborhood. And I would get home around 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. So I carried the gun for my protection, but I carried it. I was registered. I bought it in the store. It was a legal gun.
No, I understand, but you're doing something where you're inviting attention by not having the proper registration and not having insurance and not having a driver's license and so forth. That's stupid.
No, I know that was my fault. On that part, that was my fault. But where my other question comes out, that after that, I was given probation. I did my 10 days in jail. I did 19 days community service. Okay, I did my time, whatever, paid it. Then afterwards, like, I think 2 years later, I give my buddy a ride. The guy's drunk, passed out. I drove him to his house. His family came, picked him up. I didn't know he had a gun and had left it in my car.
Uh-huh.
So I take off. I'm driving. This time I had my license. I had everything straight. But the cop pulled me over supposedly for loud music. So being on out there by Pico Rivera, the way he saw me being Mexican, the kind of car I was driving, he pulled me over. He started searching my car and told me, "Why didn't you let me know you had a gun in the car?" Told him, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Well, I understand, but if I was your attorney, I would have gotten that charge dismissed because it was a mistake and it wasn't your gun and you didn't know it was in the car. So
Joe, we're going to put you on hold, and we're going to give you over to Dean. That's what we're going to do.
Really, Tom?
We're going to be here all night with it. Well, you can talk to Dean, and then
okay,
you guys can have a party.
All right, well,
we're going to be here all night with that guy.
Gary
in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Yes.
Let's use that as a teachable moment. 1 second. This is a person, Tom, who loves the drama, and you see that he's sort of lurching from problem to problem and crisis to crisis. And you gotta stop that kind of behavior because it's not going anywhere positive. Anyway, I'm sorry, Gary. Where's Gary?
I don't know where Gary is.
I thought you have a call.
How would I know where Gary is?
You just said Gary from somewhere.
Oh, I thought you meant Gary Zabransky.
Gary, how would I know where Gary is? Right here, laughing his ass off.
I wouldn't know that. How would I know that?
Where's Gary gonna be?
Gary in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
There
say hi
go.
To Adam Sachs.
Hey, Gary.
Of course, yes.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Adam.
Hey, what's up?
Appreciate talking to both of y'all. And Adam, by the way, thanks, as always, for the extra hours.
Oh, for sure.
Just real quick, I just want to make sure I understand some of the basics. So if I get pulled over, do not consent to any searches. Do not admit I know why they pulled me over. Am I right so far?
Well,
stop me
if
I'm wrong.
Think about who you are, okay? Seriously. Do you carry a gun like the last caller? I mean, you got to be out of your freaking mind.
No, of course not.
So he's consenting to a search, and he knows there's a gun in the car. Okay, that's just stupid.
Right.
All right? When you think about yourself, who you are, what the circumstances are, okay, the police, when they walk over to your window, if you saw a Senate do this, you know, Mr. Checkpoint, you could do it like 2 inches.
Right.
But that's stupid, I think. That antagonizes the cop.
I
think you roll down the window.
One of my questions.
No, I think you roll down the window most of the way or whatever. Okay, fine. Hello, officer.
Uh-huh.
Good evening, whatever. Okay. What he sees in your car when he looks in, just like what's on the seat and what's on the floor of the of the passenger side or whatever, you know, you don't want to have a bag of drugs there, okay? Because that's a plain view thing. If he sees that, he doesn't have to do anything. That's enough to make probable cause. But broadly speaking,
that's just stupid.
It's stupid to be driving around if you have warrants, right? If you have no registration, you don't have insurance. I mean, this is asking for problems.
Right.
But when you get confronted by the cop, you know, you have to start talking about, you know, am I being detained because I'd like to leave, you know? And he says, you know, I want to give you the breathalyzer test. I was just talking to someone who got arrested for a DUI. And people do not realize that they can say no. And there's a particular person who's telling me, this lady called me today. The cop pulled her out of the car, and he was making her walk around and touch her nose and all this other crap. And she said that it went on and on for, like, a really long time. And to me, the obvious question is, why are you doing that? Why are you participating in that? It's idiotic.
Right.
And the breath test, she was blowing into the breathalyzer like 15 times because it wasn't working properly. And she was out of breath, and it's like exhausting. And she's like, why are you making me keep doing this? You know, people, again, they don't recognize that they have the right to say no. And in particular, when you talk about late at night, if you have been drinking, you're tired, you're fatigued, it's a stressful situation, police are intimidating, right? And the cop's telling you, you know, you don't want to disobey me, okay? I'm telling you, man, you know, don't argue with me. I want to give you this breath test. You have to be able to say, I'm sorry, officer, I don't want to. And, I want to look in your trunk. Give me the key. I want to look in your trunk. No, I don't want you to. Okay?
Right. Okay.
And even in the general conversation, officer, I'm not detained, am I? Because I'm going to drive home now. Okay? Because I don't want to hang out with you.
Okay.
You're not my freaking friend, okay? I mean, people don't realize this.
Well, I've heard the before that, and I'm secondhand, I've heard that if you refuse to take the breathalyzer when they ask you to, then they can go ahead and arrest you on aggravated DWI or charge you, or I guess charge you with,
no,
I don't know.
They had to have probable cause in the first place, okay? So you got to have watery eyes, you know, smell of alcohol.
Swerving.
Whatever. They'll come up with these things if they want to. But the reason you refuse the breathalyzer is because you want to go to the hospital and get a blood test because it's accurate and it's going to be later on in another hour or two and you'll metabolize more alcohol. I just got a call from somebody and they did the breathalyzer and it came up 0.08, which is exactly the illegal amount. If this person had waited another hour and had gone for a blood test, it would have been 0.07 or 0.06. They would have been off the hook. Okay?
Okay.
So it's just ignorant. And you know, I've talked about this. By the way, I think I mentioned this last week. I had a couple of cops actually call me, and they want me to help them with their divorces and so forth. And they said, you don't like cops, right? I said, I've got nothing against the police. I understand their job. Okay? Their job is to gather evidence to put people in jail. And this thing where in the movie Basic Instinct where Sharon Stone outsmarts the cops or whatever, nobody outsmarts the cops. If you talk to the cops, you're gonna lose. And there are lists
of
people.
If they want to, they're going to bust you.
It's not even that.
Yeah.
Whatever you say is going to be used against you. And the people, there's a list and lists of people from Conrad Murray, who killed Michael Jackson, to Michael Milken, who's a junk bond king, that if they had only shut up and had not given evidence, they would never have been convicted. But by talking, they got the cops focused. They gave information that they thought the cops already knew that the cops didn't know, and they actually played a part in their own conviction. So when the cop says to you, hey, man, I want to look in your trunk. You know, give me the key. I'm looking in you. They'll say it in a motion way. They won't ask it as a question. They'll say, pop the trunk. I want to look in your trunk, or give me the key to your trunk. And you have to be the one who says, I'm sorry, officer. I really don't want you to look in my trunk.
With all due respect.
Whatever. Yeah. Say it any way you want.
Right. Okay, well, I don't want to misunderstood out there. I'm not advocating, you know, driving drunk because that would be wrong. But I just wanted to get a better clarification from you.
I'm not an advocate of drunk driving. I'm an advocate of the Constitution, and our rights as Americans. And these rights have been eroded steadily year after year with all the bullshit. When you talk about the cellular phone thing, that the police can pull you aside now for talking on the phone, for not having your seatbelt on, every year we give the police another reason to look through our glove compartments and to fuck with us, And one of the things that they're saying, this is right out of George Carlin, by the way, and this is what happens when you go to an airport. The government is telling you, we can screw with you anytime we want, and we can look up your ass. We can force you to take an x-ray. We can pat you down and grab your crotch, And we can grab your children. We can make you take off their diaper and feel their ass, And there isn't a damn thing you can do about it. And that is the problem. When I come back from abroad and I open my suitcase and it has been completely gone through, Okay, Mr. Innocent Me, with a bunch of tourist pieces of crap and some clothes that are dirty, and these assholes have opened up my socks. I had like, you know, pairs of socks wrapped together or whatever, and the two, you know, in a little sock, whatever. And they're opening all of those to check my dirty socks to see what I got. Freaking heroin in there. Give me a break. That's abuse.
You are passionate. Wow.
You're goddamn right.
I know.
You know this
tell
about
everybody,
me, Tom.
I do. Now tell everybody again how they can get in touch with you.
You can call Mr. Passion at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320.
And when you say something stupid, he is really going to get passionate.
Oh, dear.
Right now. Absolutely.
Only if they fuck with you, Tom. That's when it's going to get nasty.
Attorney Adam Sachs, you hear him every Tuesday for a bonus hour, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Radio would never, ever let us do this. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101, news for guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yeah.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, and get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine. Italian women having less babies.
Since when?
And what are they blaming it on? Yeah. Italian men.
Now what we do?
Wall Street Journal has an article saying that Italian men have a retrograde attitude towards motherhood.
We want them to do everything.
Surveys consistently find that Italian men help less at home than their counterparts
Thank
in other
you.
Countries.
Yes.
And that Italian mothers are painstaking in their approach to child care to the point of hand washing and ironing baby clothes.
It's as old school as you get.
While dudes are out fucking other broads.
Right. It's as old school as you get.
And eating pizza.
Right.
And mortadella.
Right.
Fresh mozzarella.
Correct.
Is that the way it goes, man?
No, that's the way Italians are.
You've been there. That's your homeland.
Yep. I went there one time, and I saw enough, and they threw me out.
And you got thrown out.
They chucked me right out.
Yeah. You're not one of us. It's not going to happen. That Lakeland, Florida teacher accused of having sex with her 17-year-old student apparently falsified her application. Big surprise here.
What did she lie about?
Well, she lied about the being
Everything?
Accused of fucking around with another student at another school. I thought, are you telling me they just simply go by what boxes she checks on a fucking application?
It's unbelievable because that's great. You could do whatever you want. You just not have to check the box.
Right. I thought they were doing background checks and all this other stuff. No. They simply look at your application. They take your word for it.
Yes.
That's the way they roll.
Wow.
At least in
check the box.
Lakeland, Florida, anyway.
Don't check the box.
Check the box. Don't check the box. And everybody's always all surprised.
I think that's where Bobby's from, believe it or not. I think he's from Lakeland. Yeah.
By the way, she did a nice little interview with the cops. I'd like to get some more audio of it, but it's pretty fascinating. She got something a little, you know, devious and skanky about this broad that I like. Yeah?
Yeah. she's not your run-of-the-mill hoe.
No, and while she's in the courtroom, she'll every once in a while, she'll just sort of dart a look at the camera like, you want me, don't you?
And she's right.
Exactly. That 17-year-old kid had no chance of resisting.
Right. I'd have trouble now.
Yeah. Child molester of the day is a Georgia man. Drove all the way to Colorado for sex with a 15-year-old girl. That's one problem. He'd been busted before. He was wearing one of those ankle fuckers. He's wearing one of those ankle tracking bracelets.
Yeah. How'd that track him? Tracked him right to the little kid's house.
Just followed him.
Hey. Hi, Cherish.
Oh,
those things don't work.
Yeah.
They're just generally ignored.
Yeah. It was an undercover sting operation.
Mm-hmm. Although he got stung.
It happens every single time.
Mm-hmm. Got him. Yeah, if you think you're talking to somebody online, you're not. You're talking to a cop.
Yeah.
Any underage person you believe you're speaking to right now is a cop.
Mm.
I'll just save you the hassle.
Yeah.
Our friend looks like he lost his hair and lost his mind.
Right. Some broad that's on that happy endings, apparently, getting taken to town in her divorce. I like that. What's her name, Eliza Coop or something?
Yeah, she's in some trouble. Because she's going to pay out the nose. And you know what? She feels like a dude.
Right.
She really does.
Good.
Yeah.
I love when this happened. It says on TMZ, was this a joke that she married a puppeteer? Is that?
Do they still have those?
I don't know. It says, that's what it says, but it doesn't go on to explain. The dude's name is Randall Whittinghill.
Yeah, there are very rare exceptions in which puppeteering is funny. And it's 99.99% of the time not. And the dudes that do it for detail rest, I really have questioned them.
He filed for separation on the day of their fifth-year anniversary. Court
really
documents,
wanted to make it memorable.
Court documents say that she'll have to fork over $7,000 a month in spousal support, as well as a lump sum payment of $306,000 for a puppeteer. That's the fucking gold at the end of the rainbow.
By the way, that's the most terrible thing ever. When you go crashing into the earth and you're a puppeteer and you're shaking down some broad that's on TV, you should just hang it up.
That's an achievement, dude. Are you kidding me?
Come on, please stop it. It is not an achievement.
That's going from the bottom
to
the top.
Right, right.
Just by hitting it and quitting it.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. How do you not find that impressive?
I mean, the guy speaks without moving his lips and puts his hand up some type of wood device, and we're going to go ahead and call that a joke.
Hi, I'm Jimmy. How are you?
How the fuck is he getting work?
I can't wait to divorce you. I'm going to take you for everything, you stupid whore.
Now, Jimmy.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, that's okay. Man, he gets away with that shit?
Yep.
Where do I sign up?
Exactly.
Did it.
Don't count it out. I'm just going to the puppet store tonight.
I'm starting to carve the baseball bat that's out of Sack's ball. I'm going to carve it up into a fucking puppet.
A couple of pick alerts for you that took place on Easter. One, the great South African model Candace Swanepoel. She apparently posted this naked picture on her Instagram account, and they made her take it down. She put up an edited one,
good.
But you can find the other one out there.
Right. It's called Too Good.
Yes. And plus your girl, Courtney Stodden, sending a beautiful, happy Easter selfie in
She's
the mirror
incredible.
With their
I'm
big eggs
you,
in the basket.
I've been very much against her lately. I don't mind the...
what a wreck.
I don't mind the crashing into the
Come
earth.
Come over here, Courtney. I sit on my lap.
Let me put my hand
Pull
up.
Pull my string.
Put my hand up her thing.
Plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Check out our podcast at GaryandDino.com. It's a brand new show every Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Hey, P1s. Our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the New Normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
This is the new normal.